I want to talk to you this week about God's Word. Pastor Buddy had said, we got an idea that he'd like to frame out for the week, and that is how we got God's Word to where it is today. And I want to start with themes. And the themes, you don't have to write these down because we'll touch on each one. But tonight and tomorrow morning, we're going to talk about Revelation. Not the book of Revelation, but how God reveals himself to us. And so tonight we're going to talk about how God reveals himself to the entire world every day and every night. They can see God. Then tomorrow we'll talk about God's revelation through his word and how he spoke to prophets. Then we're going to talk about inspiration, how God inspired the writers to write it. You know, again, you don't have to write all this down. This is just a preview for the week. Then after inspiration, then how did he preserve it? Like, these guys wrote this 2,000 years ago. The newest ones are 2,000 years old. How did God preserve it so that we could still have it? And then we'll even talk about compiling the compilation of the books. How did we get 66 books? How come we don't have 10 books? How come we don't have 142? And then, at the end, translation. What it comes down to today, and I actually brought with me real copies, the real McCoy, of some pages from Bibles that are over 400 years old. And you get to see them and handle them yourself and go, wow. But by the time we get to it, I hope it's much more richer in meaning than that. You're like, oh, you brought some old piece of paper. Well, I'm an old guy and I hang out with old pieces of paper. This is what I do. But tonight, let's talk about Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. Would you look at that before we start tonight? Psalm chapter 19. Now, that's a great passage to memorize. It's very rich. It's in the largest book of the Bible, which is Psalms. Psalm chapter 19. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 11. And then we're going to take a little video express here. All right, we're at Psalm 19. All right, here we go. Verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The word firmament that you see there means the sky that is visible. I'll just give you that. The firmament is the sky that is visible. That is the where the birds are and where the stars are. So the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork, the things that he did with his hands. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where his voice is not heard. God's voice is heard in every nation, language, tongue, and people, even in languages that don't even have the Bible translated into their language. Now, maybe you don't know this. There are probably 12,000 plus different languages in the world. To this date, 6,000 of those do not have a Bible in their language. That might be hard to believe. There is no Bible. If you wanted to hear it in your mother tongue and you belong to those languages, it doesn't exist. That's hard for us to grasp as Westerners. But here it says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Verse 4, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them, in these words, has he set a tabernacle for the sun. Now the words we're going to find are not words, but yet God is speaking. Verse 5, the sun is like a bridegroom coming forth, coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. In all the years that you guys have lived, has there ever been a day the sun did not come up? No. And you know what it always does too? I just watched it do it a few minutes ago. It goes down. Every day. You know what? I have known a lot of runners in my life. I know some guys that are amazing runners now that run Ironman, whatever you call those, decathlons. But you know what I can't get? I've never seen anybody that runs one for a million years. Every day. Now, however long the earth has been around, 6,000 years, it's still, the sun is never tired. He's like a strong man running a race every day. It never changes. You may not see it. you may be underneath the clouds, but you know it's daylight. And if you're a pilot, you get to bust through the clouds and pop out on top. And you see all that cotton down below you and that beautiful sunshine. He's still there. David said he's like a strong man running a race. His going forth, verse 6, is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. This sun is always there. But then he shifts gears, the psalmist does here, and says in verse 7, no longer speaking about what's above, but speaking about what you hold in your hand. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Wow. You know, the guy that wrote this was David. Was he a king? Yeah, he started as a shepherd boy, and he wound up being a king. Did you know that this guy had all the gold he ever needed? And he said, what's in your lap right now is worth more than the gold that he possessed? More to be desired are they than gold. These words, these judgments, these statutes, these commandments, this testimony. He said, and it's sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. I think it was Brother Randy Pike that taught us that the ancient Hebrew scribes, when they were the teachers in the synagogue schools, to teach the Hebrew children that God's word was sweet. When they would learn the letters, they would take honey with a stick and they would write Aleph, their first letter, A, on a piece of tablet and give it to the student and say the letter Aleph, Aleph. Now taste it. And it was honey. He said, how does Aleph taste? It tastes sweet, Rabbi. This is God's word. It's sweeter than honey. And he said that was how they taught the children their letters. And I bet you'd learn a lot. I bet you could learn the books of the Bible if you licked every one of them off. Like, Exodus is pretty good. Yep. Leviticus, too long. Yeah. But but it would make a difference, right? It's sweeter than honey. It's more desired than gold. And in verse 11, moreover, by them, by these words, is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, these words, there is great reward. And I'm not going to finish the chapter, but David wrote an amazing thing. I want to take us tonight on a short journey before we come to the meat of the message. And I want you to enjoy this first part. Now, you can make notes, but I would rather you just enjoy this part of it. Because we're going to take a look at, whoops, not that. My thing didn't pop up. I didn't even look over my shoulder. You know, they taught me, never look at the screen. Always trust that it's up there. And I look up and it was the wrong thing. Tonight, we're going to talk about the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Let's pray. First of all, tonight, Father, we worship you for being the greatest God ever, because you are the only God ever. All others have been figures carved from stone or wood, or idols created in our hearts. And Father, there is none but thee. And as David wrote so eloquently in Psalm 19, the heavens, your handiwork, declare your glory. And so as we even look at a glimpse of that glory tonight, just discuss the magnitude and the majesty of what you've done, I pray that when we're done tonight, we can focus down on what is really important in all of that and what you are and who you are. And so, Father, bless your word tonight and the camp tonight and tomorrow and the rest of the week. Get yourself glory in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you like to look at stars? Do you like to look at stars? Sweet. Okay, how many have ever seen a shooting star or a falling star? Is that cool or what? Does that make you go, oh? Huh? Now, people talk about meteor showers. I have never seen a meteor shower. Like, meteor shower tonight. Like, go out at 10 o'clock. And I stand there. Because I'm thinking, like, and I don't see any. It's the nights that I'm just walking or working outside, and all of a sudden it's like, and I was like, oh, I saw that. And nobody else to tell. Because you just want to say, did you see that? One night in New Guinea, where we live in the mountains, we are clouded in almost all the time. So maybe six nights a year, this is how we all count it, maybe six nights a year we have a moonless night and it's clear. And the Milky Way runs right through our valley. And it's unbelievable to look up at the Milky Way. So one night we came out, we were eating at my son's house, we came out of the house and we're walking back to our house. It's pitch dark like it is here at camp. How beautiful is that? And as always, I'm like, oh, sweet. And so we all take our torches and cover our torches and standing there in the pitch black. And I'm not kidding. about that time, something went right over our heads, just like that, just that fast. And I thought, well, it's a jet, but that doesn't, it's not blinking. And no sooner as it got right about here, and I was telling my wife and one of our coworkers, I said, hey, check that out, check that out. Here came another one. And I was, all right, I'm just going to tell you, I thought it was a UFO. I was like, we're going to watch a UFO, two of them crash right here in front of us. But it wasn't. One of them was a satellite, and the other one was the International Space Station. And you say, how'd that find out? Because my coworker, he's really smart. Andrew is really smart. Andrew came out there, and he looked at it, and he goes, wow, that's awfully bright, you know, whatever. And so he went back and looked it up on the internet, and sure enough, the path of the International Space Station went right over Papua New Guinea that night. But we just walked out there. But the other satellite, they crossed paths. And it was like, wow, to see something moving up there. But even after they were gone, we still stood there. Because those things were transient. They were passing. But the rest of it has been there since God put it into existence. And we were just like mind blown. And then the longer your eyes adjusted, more of the Milky Way you saw. You want to take a look at some of that stuff? Yeah, let's take a look at it. Let's look at this here. Stars, planets, nebulae, gas giants, red stars, black holes. Galaxies by the millions. Our God made all of that. In fact, I had to Google it all today to see what the latest thing is. Our ever-expanding universe, they say, is 90 billion light years across. 90 billion. Blows your mind. What does that mean? It's just a lot. It's really big. Now, this here is just a picture. Kind of give you an idea of what David, the guy that wrote Psalm 19. Did you know David could write so coherently about stars? Because that was what he did when he was a boy. What did he do when he was a boy? He was a shepherd, right? Before he killed a giant, he was a shepherd. He was a shepherd for a long time. And this is where he was a shepherd, in the wilderness of Judea. What a beautiful place. There they are, camels trekking across there. But do you know that at night, this is a photograph from the Judean wilderness. Yeah. Can you imagine not being awed? Like, he has no phone. Oh, man. He couldn't play Tetris. I mean, he actually had to sit there, nobody to talk to. His brothers all left him. The sheep are yours, boy. We're going back to the house. The sheep, meh, meh. I don't know. You ever play with sheep? Meh, and they meh back. I mean, but after you've done that a couple times, that's old. So what do you do for the rest of the night? Wow. Wow. You look at things like that. You look at this. You see the Milky Way. Now, the Milky Way is pretty interesting because it's supposed to have 100 billion stars until I Googled it today. And somebody said, maybe 400 billion stars. Now, I don't know. Now, can I help you guys? I learned this when I was young, and it's pretty mind-blowing. You hear million, you hear billion, you know, they're just alien words, right? You know what the difference is between a million and a billion? Like if you ask a young kid, hey, would you rather have $1 million or $1 billion? He doesn't know. I'm going to tell you why you're going to figure it out real quick. If you had $1 million, and it didn't grow, it was only $1 million, and you spent it at $1,000 a day. You had $1,000 a day. You spent it. You would spend that out in about 32 months. 32 months, less than 3 years. The $1 million would be gone spending it at $1,000 a day. That's $1 million. If you had $1 billion, fasten your seatbelt, put your seat upright, and fold your tray table. If you had $1 billion and you spent it at $1,000 a day, it would take you 2,700 years to spend it. I want $1 billion. So every time you see billion with a B, we're talking about a number you can't even get your mind around. It's 1,000 million. It's massive. So if our Milky Way's got 100 billion stars or 400 billion stars, this is a bunch of stars. It's a bunch of stars. And so what does that do for us? That's us. And you know what David wrote in Psalm 8? When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Now, what we're about to see and look at here, just to give you the magnanimity, how bigness of God, how big God is, and you really then begin to wonder, does he even realize that we're here? And the truth is, more than he realizes you're here. But I wanted you to see how big this God is. Now, first, I talked to somebody today, and he was talking about rockets. And I was like, dude, I was going to talk about rockets tonight. So let's just hop on a rocket here and take a quick ride out there. Make sure you put this funny suit on. All right? Because when you're out there in space, you got to have some way to breathe. And it's really hot and it's really cold. And the vacuum will just suck your brain out. And so we want to wear something to protect yourself. And so if you're in space and you look back, this kind of kills the flat earther people. This is looking back at Earth from space. That's the Tunisian coastline on the Mediterranean and that strange curvature of the Earth there. That's if you look back at the Earth from not too far out in space. If you spun yourself around there in your big space suit, you might see something like this further out in the solar system. Now, I bet somebody knows what that is. What is it? It's Jupiter. How do you know? The big red zit right in the middle. Yeah, that's Jupiter right there. And I don't even want to take the time to talk about how big Jupiter is. Jupiter is massive. If you got near it, like suck you in, you're like, and it's just massive. You'd weigh 4,000 pounds. There's no weight loss program to help you on Jupiter. But I want to peek. We're going to keep peeking further out. And some of these shots are taken by the Hubble Space Telescope, and they do have filters. Now, I know some people use the programs, Instagram, whatever. It's got a filter. I don't know how that works. But that filter idea was on these things in space because the filters would filter out certain lights so that you could actually see the beauty of some of these things here. And take a look at this. This is called the Veil Nebula. Now, nebula means it's made out of gas and dust particles. Now, this has nothing. They are evolutionists that name it, but what they're naming is true. But when you look at that and the beauty and the colors seen through a filter, the heavens declare the glory of God. Do you realize that you can't even see that with your naked eye? Do you realize until they fired the Hubble telescope up there and got it all aligned and then just started aiming it around and just pointing and focusing and pointing and this was out there the whole time. God made this in all its beauty, and generations before us never saw it. What else is out there that he's made that's more beautiful? And then when you think about distances, now this is called, you probably can figure it out, the Whirlpool Galaxy. Looks like a whirlpool, right? Now the Whirlpool Galaxy isn't too far away. It's 31 million light years away. 31 million with an M, not a billion, so it's not that far. 31 million light years away. Now how far would that be? Okay, let's start with light. Light travels through a vacuum, space, 300,000 kilometers per second. I don't care how fast your Ford is, okay? She ain't touching that. And at 300,000 kilometers a second, here's the speed, 1 billion kilometers an hour. That's toasting, baby. Like, keep the windows up, because you'd be sucking everything out the windows. That's how fast light goes ripping through. And if we go 1 billion kilometers in 1 hour, then let's keep that up for 31 million years, and we'll get here. And that's to the edge. And then, how big is it to get across that? My God made that. Your God made that. He made it. It is so far away that, barring any supernatural intervention, you will never be able to go there. And he put it out there. This is our God. And by the way, I did the math. 31 million light years away is 293 quintillion, 284 quadrillion, 800 trillion kilometers away, just around the corner. I don't think I've ever used the word quintillion in a serious thing until I did this tonight. Quintillion. If you scratch all the little sub numbers, that's 293 followed by 18 zeros. There's no way to get your mind around this. And this is what David is saying when he says, the heavens declare the glory of God. But let's do something. Let's be more practical. Let's come home. Let's take a look at the sun. Okay, don't look at the sun. Your mom told you not to do that. Don't look at the sun. Now, do you know how hot the sun is? On the surface, it's 5,600 degrees Celsius. So it'll toast your marshmallows. They say the core is 15 million degrees. And this thing, like the burning bush with Moses, it burns and it burns and it burns and it doesn't burn up. And while it's burning up, It's heating a universe. It's heating a solar system. And we're here we are, right here on toasty Earth, that God made it just right where we can inhabit here. And that is our fireball. It's our solar power. It's what makes our plants grow. It's what gives us oxygen. It's what balances our carbon dioxide. It's there. God has it burning. And nobody has to go in there occasionally and tend it. My son has one of those wood stove systems that heats a boiler that runs underground in the house. And so in the middle of their winters there in Kentucky, when it's 0 Fahrenheit, which is what, 20 below? He has to get up in the middle of the night and go out there and stoke that dude. I'm like, dude, put a fireplace in your house. At least you just don't have to go outside and do it. Nobody stokes that. It just burns because God said, burn it. Now, thinking about the light speed, does anybody know how fast light from the sun gets to the earth? 9 minutes. 9 minutes. So the light from the sun that is generated right now, 9 minutes from now, it reaches the earth. It's coming across. Now, how big is the sun? Well, I just happen to have an earth with me. I just brought earth here today. Simeon helped me find an earth. This is earth. So if the earth is this big, then, and I couldn't blow it up enough, the sun would be 4.5 meters across. So I don't know how you could figure 4.5 meters in a space like this, but just figure it that way. Somebody put it this way. You take a tourist bus, one of those coaster buses that they use for the tourists, take them down to Cannes. Everybody know what that is? The coaster bus? No? Tourist bus? Take all the seats out, fill it with ping pong balls. That is the size of the sun versus the size of the earth. And we're just kind of drifting along out here, just humming around. God made us. He made us comparatively that size. That size. Now, in the night sky, if you look in the night sky, anybody ever seen this constellation before? Anybody know what it is? What is it? Orion. Okay, that's Orion's belt. But I want you to look at a star in Orion. That star. Does anybody know that star? It's one of the most interesting stars that we can see. Does anybody know what it's called? No, it's not a planet. Betelgeuse. Betelgeuse or Betelgeuse. Both pronunciations are correct. I like Betelgeuse because it just sounds like you stepped on one, and that's what he is. He's Betelgeuse. Now Betelgeuse is an amazing star, okay? It's an amazing star. Betelgeuse is really close in interplanetary and interstellar terms. It's only 427 light years away. So traveling at 9.5 trillion kilometers per year, you'd be there in 427 years. So your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, if you all left in the same rocket, they would make it to Betelgeuse. But I don't think you'd want to go to Betelgeuse because, Betelgeuse fell off the map right there. Where you at, Betelgeuse? Come here, Betelgeuse. Here she is. That's Betelgeuse. Okay. Betelgeuse is really big. Betelgeuse is bigger than our sun. Betelgeuse is much bigger than our sun. Betelgeuse is twice the size of Earth's orbit around the sun. Here's Betelgeuse and our sun. Uh-huh. There we are. That's our sun. That's Betelgeuse. My God made that. My God then made that on nights when you're looking at Orion and you're all like, oh, I see Orion's belt. Well, look up bigger because that thing dwarfs everything out there. And did you probably knew this because you guys are all smart. Did you know that if you took off in a rocket and you could travel at light speed or even faster and you could fly through it, do you know as you fly further, the constellations all shift? Because Orion's belt is not three stars that are all nicely lined up. There's one here and one back here and one way, way back there. They're all over the place. And the perspective that we see them from here is where we give our names to the constellations. But that Betelgeuse out there is huge. But we're not even done with that. Let me come back. Hey, here we go. This isn't the earth anymore. Wipe that. This is the sun. This is the sun. And if this was the sun and we wanted to measure Betelgeuse, it would work like this. How big is the camp here? Is it a couple kilometers? Could I say that? Well, I'll give you the size. This to 1.8 kilometers, 1,800 meters. That's the comparison in size. Sun to Betelgeuse. So turn the camp into a sun, put the ping pong ball there. That's Betelgeuse. That's somebody else's star. Don't be jealous. They may have a bigger one, but it's okay. Because Betelgeuse isn't the biggest there is. There's a bigger one. Antares. Yeah, my God made that one too. The heavens declare the glory of God. This is our God. He made microscopic cells, some atomic particles. He built planets and moons, massive solar systems. He made galaxies, millions of galaxies. Our galaxy, the Milky Way, is one of millions of galaxies. This is God. When David wrote, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars." Do you realize David said a mouthful that even David could not comprehend? And here's what I want you to take away from tonight. This same God that made all this wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. Lest we ever get too puffed up about who we are. This is one of the most famous space photographs ever taken. It's called the Pale Blue Dot. You see that pale blue dot? This photograph was, it's where the photograph was taken that makes it famous. This was the last photograph transmitted by the Voyager spacecraft as it left our solar system. As it buzzed past Neptune, it was focused back on Earth, and it took a series of photographs, and it took, I don't remember how many days for that to all transmit back. And then they put it together, and that was Earth from outside our solar system, the first time ever seen. And all we were was, as an Earth, is a pale blue dot. But you know, to science, we may be a pale blue dot, but not to our God. Not to our God. Again, I have to say with David, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And I want to take a few minutes, just a few minutes, to say what does God say about that. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1. First page, Genesis 1. Some of the verses here when we talk about our God. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning of time, God created the heaven and the earth. And as you know, chapter 1 is about how he created everything from nothing. But I want to focus on what we just saw. Look down in verse 14. This is the fourth day of creation. And Genesis 1:14. And God, what's the next word? And God what? Said. Do you realize that everything in Genesis 1 is about God speaking? This is how the Bible opens, God speaks. Verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven." So this is this visible sky to divide the day from the night, sun and moon. "Let them be for signs," constellations, "for seasons, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the sun, the lesser light to rule the night, the moon, and then this classic understatement. And he made the stars also. I made the sun, and I made the moon, and we're working on Earth right here. And oh yeah, let's get some leftover stuff here. Let's just make a few stars. Let's make a Betelgeuse and an Antares. And I mean, he made the stars also. You just saw this, that we just now, within the lifetime of your parents, and even more discoveries are going to come in your lifetime, we are just now beginning to reach out and see the also. And this is the God that wants to speak to you. Now, the Bible actually tells us who God is that did this. I want one more turn. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, my namesake. Not Papa John chapter 1, but John chapter 1. Because John chapter 1 starts like Genesis chapter 1. But there's something here that God wants us to see that is a New Testament revelation. And we're talking about God revealing himself. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, and he doesn't say God created the heavens and the earth. He says, in the beginning was the Word. What do you have in your lap? A Bible. Could we call it the Word of God? Would that be safe? The Word. In the beginning was the Word. And then it goes on to say, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Ah, so we're connected to Genesis 1 now. The God that made the stars also is this God. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning, Genesis 1, with God. And here it is. How many things were made by Him? All things were made by Him, and there was what? There was, without Him, was not anything made that was made. You're like, well, yeah, that's Genesis 1, God. Oh, but we're going to find out who. Look at verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is the Word? It's our Lord Jesus Christ. Who made everything in Genesis? All things were made by Him. Who? Jesus Christ. The one who came in a human form and lived a perfect life and died for your sin and for mine. The one who loved us so much that He gave Himself. He's the one that made that. He's God of very God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All the same God. The God that made that is the God that loves you. The God that made that is called the Word because He wants to talk to you. And He starts in the Bible by talking. And this is what the next few messages are going to be about. This God who reveals Himself day and night by you just going outside and looking around and going, wow, where did that come from? Who made that? The Scripture tells us God made it. And the New Testament tells us, and God is Jesus Christ. Now, how does this apply to us? I close with verses 10 through 12. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, He was in the world. And the world was what? Made by Him. And the world knew Him not. The next verse says, He came unto His own. Now that's Jesus, His own place, and His Israel, and the people. And His own people received Him not. So He's rejected by the world. He's rejected by His own people. But here's where it comes to you and to me. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Let me plant this in your mind if you've never thought of this before. Jesus wants to be known. He's the Lord of glory. He's the majestic God who makes stars also. And that God wants you to know Him, and He wants you to be with Him, and He wants to save you from your sin. And He says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. We don't have any power to be anything, but in Christ, we can be new creatures. Old things can pass away, all things can become new, and we can find that all things are of God in Christ. This week, this is what we're going to talk about. This kind of a God. This is the God I want to serve because He's the one who made it all and He's the one who wants us to know Him. So as you go through your devotions this week and you're going through the lessons, just keep this main thought in mind. God is trying to speak to you, not in visions and not in dreams, but from what you hold in your lap, from His Word. Let's pray and we'll go on to the next thing. Thank you. You have been amazing. This is going to be a great week. Father, You are an amazing God. And Lord Jesus, we worship You as our Savior. And as we've seen tonight, You are the Creator of all things. By You, all things consist. So we thank You for Your love for us. Thank You, Father, for sending the Son to be the Savior. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for working in our hearts to draw us to the Son. And Lord, I pray that You'll work in each heart here. Start in mine. Work in the hearts of all these young people. Those who know You, make them closer to You. Father, those who don't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior yet, I pray this week would be the time that they would put their faith and trust in Him and Him alone. Now, Lord, bless the rest of the activities for the evening. Get Yourself glory in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.